Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yo, what's happening? Tiki and Tierney, big week. Start of a new week here on the show. What's going on? Hopefully everybody's okay. Hopefully everybody had a great weekend. Hopefully everybody had a great Mother's Day. Tiki and I are coming from our Rocket Mortgage studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process, with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Hey, we got a lot to do. It's the final week of the NBA regular. Wait, is that? Are we actually on TV today, Teak? What is that rectangular thing with our images spitting back at us? Is that television? Hey, we're back on TV today, Teak.
I love it, man.
Woo!
A week of UEFA Champions League and Europa League and got us back finally.
Yeah, we're back.
Can't wait. Good stuff, too.
Back to the routine, which is great because, as I said, it's the final week in the regular season for the NBA. You'll have, I think it's the 18th through the 21st. You've got the play-in, and obviously the Lakers are pretty much, you know, right in that seventh spot. They lost to Portland on Friday. They came back. They had a really good win yesterday. AD dropped 42. They beat a terrific Suns team. How about my Knicks clinching a playoff spot for the first time in almost a decade as they won at L.A.? They're still on the web. We talked about that West Coast trip last week.
I know.
They've been gone for a long time. Great win as the Knicks executed nicely down the street. And really, Randle didn't even play well. He made some big shots at the end, but that was a real character win. So the NBA's starting to take shape here. Doncic is in hot water. We'll get to him coming up next segment. The Vikings pledging their allegiance. I'm not sure why.
Why not, man? Paying the guy a
to
ton
Kirk
of money.
Cousins.
You're paying him a ton of money. You got to do it, BT.
All right. Well, no. What you have to do is give him the money that you promised you would pay him. You don't have to pledge your allegiance to him, but we'll get to that a little bit later in the show. All right. So I find this really interesting. David Griffin. All right, who we had on the show a couple times back in the day. David Griffin is now running the Pelicans, of course, formerly with the Cavaliers. Smart guy, good executive. He's made some really astute trades. Over the weekend, blasted. I mean, just flat out ripped the NBA for their officiating, how they handle Zion. It's a lengthy clip. Zion obviously out for the rest of the way with a fractured finger. I want to play this, and then I want to tell you why, at least I believe, while I appreciate protecting your guy, I think David Griffin is totally wrong. Here we go. Here it is.
I'm really frustrated because this was avoidable. We told the NBA through every means available to us, through sending in film, through speaking to everybody in the officials department, everybody in basketball operations, that the way they were officiating Zion was going to get him injured. And quite frankly, he's injured now because of the open season that there's been on Zion Williamson in the paint. He has been absolutely mauled in the paint on a regular basis to the point that other players have said to him, I'm going to keep doing this to you because they don't call it. So there is more violence encouraged in the paint against Zion Williamson than any player I've seen since Shaq. It was egregious and horrific then, and the same is true now.
All right. First of all, it's not encouraged. I mean, to encourage that kind of behavior would be as the players, you know, hit the tunnel or you know, go to go on a layup line. Hey, listen, go
take
after Zion. We're going to let you go after him.
Just take
bang
him out.
Around tonight. Take him out. Hurt him. That's encouraging, that kind of behavior. Now, a couple of facts here. And again, I respect what Griffin's doing. Mm-hmm. It's his guy. He's got to protect the franchise. No problem there. I just don't agree necessarily. I don't know that we've seen the same thing. But again, my agenda is very different, understandably so. He's fourth in the league in free throw attempts. Maybe that's not the best representation of how they're officiating. It speaks to the frequency. Maybe they're ignoring some of the egregious stuff, to be fair. But just want to give people some numbers. Fourth in the league in free throw attempts. Embiid is one. Giannis is two. Trae Young is three. That's number one. Number two, now, David Griffin said they don't really know when he hurt his finger, mm-hmm. all right? That's nonsense, because he got hurt on Tuesday against the Golden State Warriors in, to me, I mean, looked like an incredibly innocuous
yep.
reaching for a rebound. That's I mean, right. that you see 50 times a game, 60 times a game between a couple of guys, nothing dirty, nothing below the, you know, below board, just three guys jumping, and Zion got his hand, he got his finger in the wrong spot at the wrong time. See, listen, there are certain injuries, whether it's degenerative back, whether it's baseball swings or continuously hitting a golf ball, arthritic knee issues for Tiger with all that force on his knee. Don't tell me that he fractured his finger because it was a cumulative effect of the amount of times he got hit on the finger.
Yeah.
That's really one of the dumbest things I've ever heard from a smart guy.
Look,
makes no sense.
I agree, BT. This doesn't seem like Zion Williamson was mauled like Shaq used to get mauled, because he brings up Shaq. Uh-huh. Now, we all remember Shaq, especially if you're of the age where you saw Shaq when in his prime. Or not even, it doesn't matter, anytime he was out on the basketball court, he would get mauled. I mean, tackled, basically, in order to stop him from scoring. And these are when they're trying to foul him and put him on the free throw line. But even before then, when the hand-checking rule was still, not the same as it is now, these guys were smacking him. They were basically body-blowing him, trying to get him, keep him out of the paint. And, you know, Shaq didn't mind, because Shaq was he was still the biggest dude in the game, size-wise, height and size-wise. Mm-hmm. So it didn't matter. Zion's not that kind of player, right? He's an athlete. He's a jacked-looking, monster beast of an athlete.
Explosive leaper.
Explosive
leaper.
But he's not like overwhelmingly enormous.
He's not the sheer force Shaq. Well, nobody was, but he's not that sheer force.
Yes, I agree. But my point is, he's not 7'1", 302 pounds. You know mm-hmm, what I mean? He's mm-hmm. he's a great, explosive, thick athlete. Guys are going to go after him, and they're going to, try to foul him and make him get to the free throw line and earn it. But as you mentioned, BT, he's fourth in free throw attempts. Yep. That means that they are calling it. They can't call it every time he comes down the court, mm-hmm. right? But at the same time, this is nowhere near what we saw with Shaq. I mean, Shaq used to get abused. I used to feel bad for him, only because he would put him on the – he didn't hurt him, but I feel bad for him because they put him on the free throw line, and you knew he was clanking half of them.
Yep.
But this is completely different. I understand what David Griffin is trying to do. Not that it has any bearing going forward, because he's not playing for the rest of the season, and by the next year, are we going to even be talking about this? Likely not. But I don't know. He deserved to get fined the way he got fined, because he's factually a little bit incorrect.
Mm-hmm. And he's also very aggressive against the officiating. Even if he was more correct than you and I perceive him to be,
yeah.
You still can't go after the refs and after the league like that. You're going to get smashed with a fine every time, and rightfully so. So the money, whatever, it's not, it's $50,000. It's relatively inconsequential to their existence, and certainly not to our existence.
Yeah,
but
who cares?
The bigger issue is, whether or not he's fundamentally right. And I'll tell you what, and you just heard what Teague and I think. We do not agree with his assertions, though we understand what he's trying to do. He's trying to craft, it's like he's a lawyer, and mm-hmm. he's just trying to piece together a case that eventually persuades people to make a decision that is favorable for his client, Zion Williamson. I think one of the things that Zion's got to learn, and Shaq never learned this, and it's a testament to Shaq's toughness. And by the way, I'm sure players like George Mikan, who was the first big for the mm-hmm. Minneapolis Lakers back in the day from DePaul. He played at DePaul, one of the great college and great first big man in the NBA. I'm sure Wilt dealt with this. Even Charles Barkley, who was only 6'5", but thick. When you're that strong and can go from point A to point B so forcefully and explosively, relatively undeterred, unless it's a real aggressive, somewhat violent hit, if you don't sell it, and this is the subtle skill,
yeah.
if you don't sell it,
yeah.
you're not going to reap the rewards. And I get it. There's a macho element here, and that's why I respect Shaq, because he wasn't flailing.
Nope.
He wasn't flopping. He wasn't whining. He took his shots, and he just kept yoking on people.
That's funny.
And Zion's trying to do the same thing.
Yeah, you're right. I think we talked about this a few weeks ago, BT, but you're right. It is a skill to sell it. Look at James Harden,
100%.
Man. That's why he goes on the line all the time. He sticks his arms out there, says, foul me. Come get me. Hit my arms. I promise you, you're going to foul me, and I'm going to go make two free throws. It is what it is.
Maybe same with Trae Young, T.
Trae Young's the same
way. He
might
be better than Harden at this point.
He's smaller, so I don't think that Trae Young is ever going to get to the proficient.
Well, he's third in the NBA in free throw.
I know, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, like, Trae Young can do it for maybe a couple years, but if he keeps going through the going into the paint and getting smacked around. James Harden's a big dude.
Yeah, he is.
Like, he's physically, he's thick.
Mm-hmm.
Trae Young, he might start to regret that after a couple of years. James Harden's been doing this for a decade. You know what I mean? And it fits his game perfectly. But that's an interesting point you bring up, because it's so true. There is a skill in getting to the line. Ben Simmons, he's getting good at that, learning how to use his body, because he's so tall and lanky and rangy. He wants to get to the hole, because that's the only place he can score, to get fouled while you're going there, right? So
yeah.
It is a skill that Zion needs to learn, but your instinct is also right. Zion wants to be the man, right? Zion wants to be a power player.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to be a finesse player. It's never been his game. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen him play a finesse game to an extent where he's, handling and, spinning and
trying to avoid contact.
Dicing you up. Like, you never see him do that.
No, like double pumping for a
layup.
Yeah,
no. He wants to be a power player.
Yeah.
But if he wants to take full advantage of the fact that guys are scared of him, he's got to learn how to draw the foul, get the free throws, and then knock them down, most importantly.
See, but here's the thing. I don't think that guys are scared of him. I just think that guys don't want to get posterized by him. Guys were scared of Shaq. Guys, I'm sure, were scared of Wilt. Guys, I'm sure, were intimidated by the freakish, at that point, size
of the
aforementioned
scared.
George Mikan.
I mean scared, like getting embarrassed scared.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. From an ego point of view, not from a physicality, from a brute trauma, brute force point of view. I heard this. Well, first I read it. I saw it, over the weekend, and then I went and I heard the sound, and
mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is not adding up. I'm not sitting here and saying I've watched 60 plus Pelican games this year, but I've watched at least, 15?
Yeah.
Maybe parts of 20? Maybe about a third of their games, because he's on so many national games. And unless there's just so many other things in my head from so many other games and moments that it's been pushed aside, I mean, I can't vividly recollect once sitting watching a Pelicans game this year or last year, for that matter, saying, man, they're really having their way with Zion. This is bordering on unfair and dangerous. I haven't had that thought once.
No, I haven't either.
Guy fractured his finger going for a rebound.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if it had been, I don't know, he got pushed while he was airborne.
Yes.
And, someone was trying to force him to, have an errant shot, and he comes down and he hurts his ankle or whatever that may be, which would have been worse, obviously, even though this one is kind of bad because he's keeping out for the rest of the season and they're in the playoff hunt. I would agree with David Griffin. I don't agree, because you don't see it. Like, you can see when someone's being physically abused, and the refs aren't doing anything about it. I'm not saying that he's wrong. Maybe there's minutia. They go back and rewatch the game, and it's the little things. It's these little cheap shots, the elbows, whatever it is that he's talking about. But it doesn't show to the lay eye. And if that's the case, then who's going to be on your side, Dave? Yeah, you might be right in your own estimation, but most people aren't going to agree with them.
Yeah, and by the way, how many guys in the entire NBA have the combination of toughness and strength, and, well, really it's trio, and willingness to even administer the fouls that David Griffin is seemingly painting a picture of
right
now?
Not a lot.
Maybe the Morris brothers?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a short,
What are there, 10 enforcers in the league these days?
Maybe. I mean, I think that's, I don't even think it's 10.
Maybe
I really
ten.
don't. I don't even think it's 10.
Right. You're probably, it's five or six or so.
Yeah. I mean, there's just, a couple of guys who will set hard screens.
And by the way, a lot of them are guards. So they're not getting anywhere near Zion.
Well, we'll get to Doncic, who's got I was gonna say he's got his hands full, but that's probably not the not the best way to frame it based on what he did over the weekend, huh, Deke? We'll get to Doncic coming up next.
Is he at the limit now?
To my knowledge, that's actually not a technical foul.
What?
Look, now, you were off Friday. I talked about this. They rescinded one against the Knicks.
Yes.
Because he said N1.
Yeah.
And they didn't know what he said. They went back. They heard it. It's not a big. So they rescinded that. So he went from 16 to 15.
Yes.
My knowledge, what happened over the weekend with Sexton is it's a flagrant two, but it's not a technical. Again, we'll get to that. If you saw the video, that was pretty poor taste and very bad location.
Yeah, San Francisco is correct. It does not count as a technical.
There you go. Which you would think that it should.
Even though it was technically egregious.
Yes. Well, I don't even think it was technically egregious. I think it was overtly egregious.
That's true.
I mean, if that's not overtly egregious, what the hell are we measuring? What's the measuring scale here?
Yeah.
Below the belt with a quick swipe? Whoa. So, I mean, listen, we'll close the book on the Zion stuff. Again, I don't begrudge David for doing this because, you know, it's his job to, you know, you're not going to win the championship this year. You're probably not going to make the playing without Zion this year. But it's just, it's about creating a more competitive template.
Yeah.
And you know, each year, literally each day, I mean, if you want to look at it literally, accruing in increments just a little bit more respect league-wide from everybody. How the Pelicans are viewed by the officials, how they're viewed by fans, everything. So I get it. You and I just happen to think that it's a big stretch how we laid it out.
And also the bigger issue that we ended up talking about more, BT, is that Zion needs to learn how to play the game. Not play the NBA. I'm not saying he does not play in the NBA. That's not what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. He needs to learn how to play the game to get those calls because it is a game. It's the game within the game that the greats figure out. And it's only his second year. Maybe it'll take some time. But once he does figure it out, he'll be much better for it. And David Griffin won't have to, you know, lambast the referees and try to get favorable treatment for his superstar because he feels like he's getting beat up.
And you know what? And it's funny because that's what the extra year or so in college does for you.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, he had a truncated season based on all the injuries at the end. But
even
if he came back for like that second year, when you go through a conventional 35, if you play, you know, deep as Duke usually does, almost a 40-game season, you are used to, if you're that good, getting these exotic defenses thrown at you. And when they're thrown at you, you almost have to learn how to sell. It truly is an art. So he's not necessarily a scorer, so he doesn't have that, even though he puts up points. But he's not like a scorer to me, is somebody that you could just give the ball to 25 feet away and say, hey, you got three levels to operate from. Go do what you got to get yourself a bucket or get yourself to the free throw line. Like, even, you know, Carmelo, great scorer. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking even though he's pretty much at the end, but Carmelo's a great scorer. Zion gets all of his stuff at the rim, you know, from the foul line in where he just has a dribble and a spin and at the rim for the most part. So he does not have that innate skill. He's going to have to work hard to, you know, incorporate that, implement that at some point. And we'll see. It's certainly worth watching and worth following, and we'll do that. All right, listen. He went from a whiner, I mean, listen, literally in a day, because we talked about this when Tiki was out. We talked about this propensity for whining and for, you know, just getting teed up and one more, you know, that's it. Doncic is going to hit the bench. And Doncic spoke about this. He actually said, I've got to be more self-aware. I've got to change my methods. Well, he went from a whiner to a dirty player in one game. He crossed the line. He didn't go forwards, went backwards. That's a bad look, and we'll get to that coming up next. Doncic can't have that. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Hey, Saturday on CBS, the PGA Tour is back in Texas. A fantastic field, including the world's number one golfer, Dustin Johnson, competes at the Byron Nelson Championship. Live coverage 3 Eastern, 12 Pacific Saturday on CBS. Rory, first time in 18 months. Rory over the weekend on CBS was able to bag one. And it was a little adventurous down the stretch there. I got a bogey on 18. Not the way any, I'd be thrilled with a bogey on 18. These guys are ticked. I mean, but, you know, it's been a while. So let's see if that catapults Rory to, better standing in some of the major series. He's been a little off for a while. Mm-hmm. So it was good to see Rory getting it back a little bit. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. Hopefully everybody had a great Mother's Day. Tiki, I know that you guys had some fun, you and Trace and the girls, right? All good?
Yeah, no, we took an easy trip down to the Jersey Shore. It was quiet. Tracy's mom and dad came as well. So nice and easy just to get away from the routine of being in the same house over and over and over again. Even though we're vaccinated and her parents are vaccinated, it was still nice, you know, to get away and go out and have a regular dinner, socially distanced, of course.
Of course.
You got to throw it in.
It is what it is, man.
We're vaccinated. We had the mask, socially distanced, sat outside. I hear you. Check. I got it.
But it was good. We enjoyed it.
Nice. We had similar. Actually, my mom came over, which was awesome. You know, it's so great to see my mom on Mother's Day. And for Jen, we had, you know, we're games. I mean, every second of every day here. So we had a T-ball on Saturday in the morning. We had football on Saturday night. And then we had a travel game on Saturday morning at about 10:30. And then I barbecued. I made some octopus on the grill, some octopus, some scongeli, a little shrimp. Some hamburgers, mix it up a little bit. My mom made some meatballs, sausage and peppers. Really nice meal, a little wine, some nice bread, some dessert. Just nice. And then it started pouring, so
yeah.
Kind of a relaxing day to honor the moms who keep it all flowing the right way, as you and I both know. So
most
happy
certainly.
Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there.
All right. So Luka Doncic has a growing issue right now. I want to play something for you. Teak was out on Friday. I spoke about this, and I kind of believed him. I mean, it seemed like incredible self-awareness. I want to play this cut when he picked up his 15th, and again, the one was rescinded against the Knicks. So his 15th technical foul. This was before the incident over the weekend with Colin Sexton when he hit him below the belt. We'll get to that. But this was late last week. It seemed like Luka was growing up.
You and Dwight Howard tied for the most technical fouls with 15. And if you get one more, you get suspended a game. Over your last six, how are you going to remain Luka and play to a high level, but also not let your emotions get out of control?
Yeah, for sure. You know, this season has been long. You know, I wasn't myself this season. You know, I'm complaining way too much, and I got to work on that. You know, and I just got to stay calm and just not talk to them. I got to learn from that.
I don't know. Seemed pretty believable to me,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. No, here's the issue, though, BT. Is this his game? Like, and I look at Luka's game, and I'm wondering, man, is he that guy who's a complainer, who is a whiner? Is that making him better? Is being, I don't know, the tough guy, like he seemed to want to be against Colin Sexton? Because Colin Sexton wasn't doing anything but trying to get position.
That's it.
In the paint. He wasn't like pushing. Maybe there was something that happened before. I don't think so. But
Didn't submarine him?
Nothing. He was just kind of trying to get position. And Luka turned around like, how dare you try to get position on me, and smacked him in the groin, which is what we'll get to now. But just that old quote from last week, BT, not that it's old, it's only a couple days old, but I look at what he's saying, and I'm asking myself, like, but that's not your game. That's not what makes you good, is the fact that you're, you know, a hard ass or whatever the heck he thinks he's trying to be by being this type of player. He is one of the most skilled basketball players that we've seen come in the league in a long time. Yep. Just, you know, dribbling and shooting and passing. He's big. He's physical. Like, he doesn't have to be this way, and it makes me wonder why he is this way. You know what I mean? Like, what's going on in his mind that's making him think that he's got to go this extra mile to be the badass when he doesn't need to be good?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, nobody's going to look at him being a badass for pushing around somebody who's 6 inches smaller than
right,
he is.
That's,
I mean,
right.
And slapping somebody in the private parts. I mean, that's, you know, that's not the way you get the belt around your waist, the champion. I mean, that's a punk move. Let's call it for what it is. It's interesting because you tap into how he's wired, right?
Yeah.
And, you know,
because
why...
I feel like I don't know him. Look, we know him, but I feel like I don't know him.
Well, we know what we see, you know.
That's it, though.
First of all, we don't know any of these guys except the ones that we actually know personally. But, and then even then, you don't fully know him. But no, you're right. I don't know that we know much about his off the court personality. Is he low key and it just kind of sparks up when he gets on the court? I don't know. Why was Dennis Rodman a nutcase? Well, first of all, he had a rough upbringing, so I'm sure that was the root of it. But, you know, Dennis Rodman always struck me as somebody who, if he wasn't doing those little things within the game, would be bored. And quite frankly, wouldn't have any interest in playing basketball.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, even the great ones need some sort of spark.
True.
But I'm not saying it's right. I'm not.
Yeah,
you know,
I agree with you. I agree with you. But Dennis wasn't the A player. You know what I mean? He was he
best
was
best rebounder of all time.
True, but he wasn't the A player. Like yeah. he wasn't the guy
yeah,
on
not
the
for
team.
Sure.
Luka is the guy, yeah. right? He is the example. He is the pinnacle, the guy that you're supposed to be rallying everyone else behind him.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It just feels.
Wait, so you think he's got a greater responsibility to steer the
yeah,
ship?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, he does. Because I'm trying to think of successful teams that have had a malcontent like he seems to be. You know what I mean? Because it's a lot of complaining
yeah.
to the point where you're getting a technical.
Yeah.
I mean, like, who? What team is
the bad boy Pistons? You know, and forget yeah. about Rodman, but you know, Laimbeer was a pain in the behind.
Yeah.
Even Isaiah was a little dirty.
Yeah.
Great player, but you know,
that might be the one.
Yeah, Danny Ainge was dirty for the Celtics. Danny Ainge was a whiner.
But
Danny
but he wasn't the A player.
No, no.
I'm trying to think of the team of with that has their A player
yeah.
was this guy.
Alonzo Mourning, when they you know, Alonzo was, I wouldn't say Alonzo was dirty. I'm not going to go there, but Alonzo was tightly wound, but not. I mean, Luke,
yeah.
it's different.
Yeah,
yeah, it's almost childish.
Now, are we saying he's dirty now? Like,
that's filthy.
Is he in the? But I'm saying like. Like now, totally.
Well, yes.
Are we saying, Luka, you're a dirty player?
Well, let me ask you. If you're at the line of scrimmage and somebody comes up and snaps you below the belt, are they a dirty player?
Well, I mean, if it happens once, maybe I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. If it's happened multiple times or there have been like issues,
yeah.
I'm probably not. Now, to my knowledge, this is the only time that he's gone below the belt. But he has been ornery in some
he
cases.
Has been.
Am I gonna say he's a dirty player? No, I don't think I can say he's a dirty player. But it's almost like he wants to be. That's my point. Like he almost wants to be a dirty player.
Yeah.
And I'm asking myself why. You don't need to be. You have the skills to be elite
uh-huh.
and you know one of the transcendent players in the league. Why be dirty? It's not serving you. Eventually, that you're not your teammates, because they'll probably love it, but your peers are going to lose respect. You do stupid stuff like
that. Let me ask you a question.
Over and over again.
And I'm serious with the question. I'm just asking the question.
Go ahead.
Do you think that he feels that he's got to be a certain way because he's white? And he's getting picked on? Or he's getting I don't know. I mean, I've known white players. Nobody's good as Luka. And these are, you know, American whites.
Yeah.
Who felt absolutely targeted by
yeah.
guys like Kevin Garnett, et cetera.
Maybe.
I don't know.
But I think Luka's at the point where he has people's respect.
Yeah. No, you think he does?
And you know he does, because people respect him when you see how he plays and how clutch he is. And so to go down this other route, unnecessarily, I believe, it's behavior unbefitting the star that he's going to become, right?
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
And
sure.
I just don't understand it. I guess that's where I'm coming from.
Well,
maybe it's because I don't know Luka. I feel like I don't know Luka. Like, oh, yeah, this comes from – you mentioned Dennis Rodman.
Mm-hmm.
It's the perfect example, right? Because Dennis Rodman was an elite technician of what he did.
Yeah.
Right? And there was a backstory that goes back to his upbringing, his father who had, I don't know, 15 kids or whatever it was, and he was never around. And then, you know, he grew up with all sisters. And
yeah, yeah.
Like there was an explanation, the underappreciated nature of his game when he was young. Like it was a very clear, like, trajectory to his mindset. You could see it and you could read about it. You just knew about it and then he'd tell you about it. I don't see that with Luka.
No,
and
neither
so
do I.
The parallel is interesting, but it doesn't feel like there's a reason behind it.
Let me just play this for you. This is from Doncic on the incident after it went down with Sexton. Here he is.
After I saw the video, I knew I hit him, but it wasn't nothing on purpose. I think that kind of stuff happens a lot in the games, you know, but I don't know. That's my explanation. It obviously wasn't on purpose, you know, just two guys fighting for a rebound, I guess.
All right, so listen, you said you're not going to label him a dirty player, and I'll stop short of doing, even though it was an obviously, that explanation, I'm not buying that. That was a dirty play.
Yeah.
He knew what was going on
you're
there.
Right.
It was too quick and too direct, and there's no doubt. While I'll stop short of saying he's a dirty player, I will now say the onus is on him to prove that was an anomaly and that he's not a dirty player. So I'm stopping 1 yard at the 1 yard line
yeah.
of the end zone of him being a dirty player. I'm not going to go there yet, but you do something like that, you've got to play some ball without incident like that.
Yep.
Before we can say that was an aberration. We'll see.
Agreed.
Teak, let's get the update. Axe on tap on top of that. Inbounds, out of bounds, after Axe update. How about this? Bears have a logjam at quarterback, and we want to know, first of all, Nick Foles is still on the team. The question is why. So what is next for Nick Foles? That's on the Inbounds, Out of Bounds menu. Ack right now. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network on this Monday, launching a new week. It's all good. Got Inbounds, Out of Bounds coming up in a moment. First up, time to ask the pros, and I guess by process of elimination, that would be us, Tiki. And we give you a chance to ask us anything you want, brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So pretty easy drill. Just drop us a tweet at CBS Sports Radio. That's at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros, and we'll go through them. We'll take the best one. Teak and I will debate it. We'll address it, whatever we have to do right before the end of the show, and we'll give you some props as well. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs, guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So big win for the Lakers. We'll get to that. Can AD, you know, we've had a pretty decent sample size now, what he was in New Orleans, okay, and now what he's done with the Lakers without LeBron. Are we at the point, despite the 42 glorious points and a big-time win for them, much-needed win over the Suns yesterday, can we start to say that AD just ain't a one? Just ain't
maybe
a one?
Maybe.
We'll have that discussion. Yeah, that'd be good talk. We'll do that right around 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific. We'll talk about the Vikings quarterback situation for some strange reason. They continue to pledge their support. I know my partner's more of a Kirk Cousins guy than I am, but we'll get to that coming up in about 15 minutes or so. Is that, you know, just GM speak, or are they really, really, truly going to go to the finish line with Kirk, try to see what he can do? We'll get to that. Right now, inbounds, out of bounds. Teak, ready to roll, see what
we
got?
Let's hit it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. And
all right, we start with the aforementioned Bears. Nick Foles, a bit of a logjam at quarterback. Andy Dalton, we've got Nick, and also 11th overall pick Justin Fields. Now Foles, 2 years left on his deal. He's got a dead cap number of over $14 million this year. And according to reports, the Bears could not find the trade partner for Foles. So Adam Kaplan from SiriusXM said, quote, "He's not moving. They tried to trade him to Philly and other teams. Nobody wanted him. He'll back up Andy Dalton this season," end quote. So, in or out, the Bears are better off having Foles back up Dalton rather than Fields serving as a primary backup.
And that's an interesting take. I think, look, this is classic. We want to inflate his value in some way, and by making him the backup, then we think that we're going to entice someone to say, hey, well, Nick Foles could be our backup because they don't need him. They just drafted a quarterback.
Is that really their strategy?
Does it sound familiar to you? The Miami Dolphins last year. Ryan Fitzpatrick was their starting quarterback after drafting Tua Tagovailoa. And guess who was the backup? Josh Rosen. After pushing towards the start of the regular season, or not really, training camp, they decided, hey, well, can we get a trade partner for Josh Rosen? Anybody? Anybody? They finally just cut him. So, and I'm going to say out of bounds. I don't think they're better. I just think that it's a ploy, right? It just is what it is to try to make Nick Foles seem attractive to somebody. And maybe if there are some injuries in training camp, maybe he does become attractive to somebody, but just not right now in the offseason after teams have already, you know, spent the last 3 months either identifying their new quarterback or solidifying who they've already had.
Listen, the only way Nick Foles looks more attractive, barring injuries in camp, as you alluded to, is if Nick Foles was actually better at quarterback. He is not attractive by any stretch of the imagination at this point. There's no way. Out of bounds. I don't want Foles anywhere near my depth chart. I don't want Andy Dalton really playing for too long either. I mean, my take last week was, absolutely, Fields is going to be the backup. He's not going to start the season as the third guy. There's no way that's happening. And if it does, it's gross mismanagement and negligence on the part of the Bears. They're not that dumb, because they pulled off a pretty shrewd move to move up and get him.
Yep.
And they did that for a reason. He's going to play. I think he might play week one. I know I'm in the minority on this here, but you know, the things that he might not do well yet or efficiently enough yet to be a star in the NFL, he's still got to grow a little bit. He didn't play 15 or 16 games in college or 12 like Trubisky did back in the day, or maybe even 11 at UNC. He's played some football for the Buckeyes, so he's a lot more polished than people think he is. And even if things break down, and even if you want to dumb things now, not because of a lack of intellect, but because of just processing things for any rookie. He can run. You know, he can do things with his wheels. Get him outside the pocket. Foles isn't concrete. Dalton's an average athlete at best. No way. Foles cannot be the backup. Out of bounds.
Are you in or are you out?
The Sixers are hot, Tiki. Philly, they've won 8 straight to expand their lead in the East to 3 over the Nets now. And also 3.5 over the Bucks. Head coach Doc Rivers has certainly seen a resurgence in Philly. We love the hiring. You and I have both lauded the hiring. Big fans of it. After his unceremonious dump from the Clippers, and there were questions about his coaching style, and really his ability to adjust in-game arose from some in the media and even some former players who heard some whispers. So Doc Rivers has changed the narrative about his coaching with his success in Philly this year.
I don't know if it was a negative, if it was that overly negative of a narrative. We always knew he was a really good coach. He's won a championship, and so you can't like say, "Oh, he's just an average coach who just had lucky was lucky to have great talent." That's just not the case. I think we found out last year with the Clippers situation that it was kind of a lot of, you know, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard doing whatever they wanted. Yep. And Doc Rivers, you know, being the coach to two stars, one superstar, it wasn't necessarily a marriage made in heaven, as obviously you can imagine, the difficulties he had in managing those two guys. So I'm going to say out of bounds because I don't think he needed to fix it. I think he needed players who were eager to learn from what he had to offer. And in Philadelphia, as we've found out, they got still a young team. Joel is, you know, he's not like he's 30, Joel Embiid. And so, exactly, he's only 20, what is he, 21? No, 24?
No, he's older than that. He didn't play his first
26. That's right, 26. He's 26 years old. They still have growing to do. And yeah. Doc Rivers is perfect for that, yep, for the Philadelphia 76ers squad.
Love the hire. Love what he's doing in Philly. I think he was a great fit for that city. But here's the thing. The narrative, and you hit on some pretty good points. I think that narrative was hijacked irresponsibly. That, you know, about the in-game stuff, I'm not saying he's number one, but about the other stuff, like, I think that took on a life of its own, and it wasn't a real accurate depiction of how people who know basketball felt about Doc Rivers. However, my issue with Doc, and this is the main blemish on his resume, and it will not go away until he does something in the playoffs with Philly, all right, is four times when he was up 3-1. They lost the series.
Yeah.
That's a stain. You know, that is some ugly stuff here. So, to me, the only negative narrative was his inability to close out on multiple occasions. And he was the better seed, by the way. Teams that were inferior. And that was very problematic. Until that happens, or until he wins again, that still exists. But Doc Rivers is a very good coach. And people who know the game know that.
Are you in or are you out?
Jacob DeGrom, he's phenomenal. 2-time Cy Young winner. He's been dominating on the scene for a long time now. Just 3 earned runs in 40 innings with the Mets. But might have some bigger concerns. He's been jumping into that MRI tube a little bit too frequently last couple of times. Remember, he was scratched for about 10 days from his previous start. He came out. He was pitching yesterday into the fifth. He wiggled out of the jam the previous inning. And then he comes out for his warm-up pitches. He throws a couple. Something's not right with the back. He calls McCann, his catcher, out. Rojas comes out. Nope, you're done. Take a seat. So he's going back in the MRI tube, which is not good. Tightness, it was originally the lat. Now it's actually in his back. No damage, but still, this could be problematic here. That's twice it's flared up. Certain things have flared up. If Jacob DeGrom retired today, he would already be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
you're out.
This is out of bounds, BT. I know Jacob DeGrom is fantastic. He's won 2 Cy Youngs. He was the Rookie of the Year. His ERA has just been fantastic, especially those two in the last couple of years. And this year, it's well below one right now, BT. And in fact, it only rose because he only pitched 5 innings.
Exactly.
Right? Because it was 0.5 something, and now it's 0.68.
Yeah.
It's only because he got pulled early. However, he didn't enter the league majors until he was 26 years old. So this is technically only his 7th season, 8th season, I believe. And he's 33 years old, and he's not even close to the number of strikeouts that you would need to be Hall of Fame caliber. Mm-hmm. This is not like the NFL where they'll say, you know, the narrative around the game, you can play 4 or 5 years and still make it into the Hall of Fame. Baseball mm-hmm. is very metric driven. Yep. This is out of bounds to me.
I disagree with you here. And I think that, you know, I'm going to frame it in a way that dances around the numbers, which in baseball usually are not negotiable. I get it. But, oh, listen, we've seen we've known now for a long time, at least 10 years, at least, the win has been an incredibly antiquated
stat. Not even
stat.
Looking at the win.
I know you're not. Nobody references wins anymore. No. What's your ERA? What's your whip? How many innings? How many strikeout-to-walk ratio, et cetera, right? So I look at somebody like Koufax. Now, Koufax had a couple of, maybe one or two more, you know, brilliant years just based on a length of career. Very, very shoddy early, very nondescript, and then his arm gave up. But, you know, those six, maybe even five great seasons, you know, I mean, honestly, I don't know that you could say that they were better than DeGrom. I mean, really, Jacob DeGrom, I don't know how you write the history of the 2010s, late 2010s, and obviously, you know, this decade without Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah.
Jacob DeGrom, in all seriousness.
The Mets were irrelevant, though,
doesn't
BT.
Matter. Who cares? That means nothing. Jacob, it doesn't matter what
it does,
the Mets
because
do. No,
outside of New
nothing.
York, nobody cared that
no,
Jacob DeGrom was...
No, but whether or not they care is different than them saying he's by far the best pitcher in baseball. They might not have cared about the Mets, but people who watch baseball say, that guy's not only the best, he's by far the best. He's the best pitcher I've ever seen. He's the best pitcher that I've ever seen. He consistently has the highest rated fastball, triple digits basically on the average. His curveball's unhittable. The guy's secondary stuff is sick. Jacob DeGrom is really like a video game. These guys can't touch him. So in my opinion, yes, he is a Hall of Famer.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Pull up Koufax's numbers real quick, just to back that up.
I'm looking up Koufax's
numbers.
Okay,
what do you got there?
Yeah,
I'm not saying it was...
He's 2,300, almost 2,400 strikeouts. So
DeGrom's at 1,400.
Yes, exactly, which is a lot less.
Yeah,
he led the ERA, led in majors in ERA five consecutive times to end his career.
Okay.
His last season when he was 30, as you were mentioning, BT. Three Cy Young Awards and an MVP.
Okay.
And second in the MVP two other times.
Right.
I mean, it's a little bit different than
his
what Jacob DeGrom
years,
did to him.
One, two,
oh, they
three,
were bad.
Four, five.
They
By
were
the
bad.
Way, his sixth season in baseball, he was 8-13. Mm-hmm. I know that win, loss, whatever. With almost an ERA of 4 with no DH. I mean, Jacob DeGrom, I know he's in the NL, but he's doing interleague. I mean, I'm not saying he's Koufax, but for my eyes, like I said, he's the best pure pitcher I've ever seen for me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.